Hi everyone, this is Dr. Margaret Paul, and I'm delighted to be here with you to talk about healing shame. So first I'd like to talk about what is core shame. Core shame is the feeling that there's something basically wrong with us, the feeling that we're flawed in some way, that you know, that we're just not good enough. And this is a feeling that many of us get when we're very small. And I actually don't know anybody that doesn't have some core shame, because most of us did not grow up with parents who knew how to see the beauty within us, our true self, our true essence. They didn't know how to see the beauty within themselves. And so they couldn't love us in the way that we needed to be loved. And when we didn't receive love, we actually only had one of two ways of experiencing that. Either we were very, very smart and we got that they just didn't know how to love us and that it had nothing to do with us. But frankly, I have personally never met anybody who really fully knew that and didn't absorb some shame. And what the rest of us did is we decided that the reason that we weren't being loved for who we are is because there's something wrong with us. We're not good enough. We're flawed. We're defective. We're not important enough. And that's called core shame. Now, one of the reasons that we made the decision that it's our fault that we're not being loved and that we're flawed and defective in some way is that this belief gave us a sense of control. If it's my fault that I'm not being loved because there's something wrong with me, then I can do something about it. You see, if we really got that it had nothing to do with us, that there was nothing wrong with us, that we were not flawed in any way, that we were beautiful, wonderful, lovable little beings, and that our parents just didn't know how to love us, we might not have been able to handle that information, because we would have been saying to ourselves, uh-oh, I'm trapped here for the next 18 years with people who have no idea how to love me, and there's nothing I can do about it. They just don't know. They don't know how to love themselves, they don't know how to love me, and there's nothing I can do about it. Well, that would be pretty overwhelming for a child to recognize that. And so what we all did is we decided that it's our fault. And that gave us a sense of control, which is what we needed in order to survive. We needed to feel that there was something we could do. If I'm not good enough, if I'm not you know, attractive enough or smart enough or somehow good enough, then I can figure out how to do it right. I can figure out how to act right and be right so that I can get the love that I need and I can avoid the pain that I can't handle. And so virtually all of us absorbed that belief that there's something wrong with us. And of course, our parents may have contributed to that in terms of shaming us and telling us that there's something wrong with us. And so, of course, we could have gotten it there as well. And so there's many ways that we absorb core shame. And we grow up with this deep, deep belief that we're somehow defective, somehow flawed. And, you know, there's much in our environment that reinforces this belief that we're flawed. And, you know, and we don't know how to deal with it. We have no way of understanding that we made this decision at a very, very young age. And so we grow up with it. And then we have this shame as adults. Now, it's still tied in to control. Even though we decided a long time ago that we needed the control then, we bring it into today, and it's still tied into control, so that the purpose of keeping our shame is still to tell ourselves that if somebody rejects us or somebody is unkind to us or something happens to us that's difficult, we get to say, well, it's because I'm not good enough, and therefore I can do something, I can fix it, I can have control over it. If only I can figure out how to do it right. You know, how often have you, for example, gone to a social event and somebody may have ignored you, and you said to yourself, well, what did I do wrong? Or what did I say? And that's that wounded part inside of us that wants to believe that we have control over other people's behavior. What did I say? What did I do wrong? What's wrong with me? And that's that part of us that wants to think that it's our fault. We don't want to accept, you see, even as adults, we don't want to accept that other people choose who they want to be, that they choose to be accepting or they choose to be rejecting. They decide who they want to be. We want to continue to believe that it's our fault that, you know, that people may not like us or people reject us. And so that's the purpose of the shame. We want to keep it because we want to believe that we have the control. Now, there's another purpose to shame. And that is, as bad as shame feels, for many people, it feels better than the deeper core feelings of heartache and heartbreak and loneliness. Shame is a wounded feeling. This is a feeling that we cause. We cause the feeling of shame by our belief system, our belief that there's something basically wrong with us. That's the belief that causes the feeling of shame. Now, the feelings of heartache and heartbreak and loneliness, these are existential feelings, and by that I mean these are feelings caused by life. We don't cause these feelings. These are feelings that are caused by loss, by people being mean, being unkind, being unloving, leaving, dying, not having anybody to connect to. These are life feelings. These are very difficult life feelings. So difficult that when we were young, we could not handle these feelings. We could not manage feelings of heartbreak and heartache and loneliness and grief. And so we had to learn to protect against feeling these feelings. Our little bodies were too little to manage the very, very big core feelings of heartache and heartbreak. And so, of course, we had to learn to manage them in some way. And shame is one of the ways that if we could shame ourselves, we could feel the shame, we could judge ourselves, we can feel the shame of that, and that covers over these existential feelings of heartache and heartbreak and loneliness that are so hard to manage. And you will find that if you learn and practice the inner bonding process, which is, of course, what we teach, that you will learn to manage the core feelings, then you don't need to avoid them with shaming yourself. You don't need to avoid them with other addictions, because all the addictions that we all turn to, whether it's food or alcohol or drugs or TV or sex or whatever it is that we turn to, that people turn to, is to avoid these core painful feelings of heartache and heartbreak and loneliness and sorrow and grief and helplessness over others. And many people would rather shame themselves and tell themselves that there's something wrong with them as a protection against those feelings, or turn to other addictions as a protection against those feelings. So when you learn and you practice the inner bonding process, you learn to manage the core feelings. You don't need to avoid them anymore. And when you practice inner bonding, you start to give up control over things that you have no control over, like other people and how they feel about you, how they treat you, or the outcome of things. The wounded part of us likes to believe that we can have control over how other people think, about us, how other people feel about us, how they act towards us, and we don't have that control. And the more you practice the inner bonding process and you recognize that you learn to have control over you, over your own thoughts, over your own feelings, over your own actions, and you learn to manage the core feelings, then you no longer need to have control over other people. And you find, as you practice the inner bonding process, that your shame gradually goes away. You don't need it anymore. Now, some people use their shame as an excuse to not take responsibility for themselves. Very often, when I'm working with somebody who is not taking responsibility for themselves, is not really learning how to love themselves and really take loving care of themselves, and I ask them, well, why do you think you're not motivated to learn to do this? And they say, well, I'm not worth it. You can't imagine how often I hear, I'm not worth it. And so telling yourself that you're not worth it is a way to get yourself out of responsibility for your own feelings. And the problem with this is that when we don't take responsibility for our own feelings, then we make other people responsible, and then we have to try and control them to get them to treat us the way that we want to treat us. And so that's what creates most of the relationship problems, is trying to have control over how people feel about us. And so that's another reason for keeping the shame, just, you know, not wanting responsibility. And when we shame ourselves, we're definitely not loving ourselves. We're judging ourselves. We're putting ourselves down. We're treating ourselves badly. We're unkind to ourselves. And that's called self-abandonment. And when we abandon ourselves, what happens is that we create an empty place inside, like a black hole inside of us. And that black hole is a pull on other people to take responsibility for us. And so other people feel pulled on to take care of us, and most people don't like that. They resist that. They pull away from that. They don't want responsibility for us. But many people will use their shame as a pull on other people. I'm not worth it. I'm not good enough. I can't take care of myself because I'm not worth it. Somebody else has to do that. And very often, people tell themselves that taking care of themselves is selfish as a way to not take responsibility, without realizing that really if we don't take care of ourselves, we become a burden on other people. And that, to me, is what selfishness is when we're not taking loving care of ourselves and we expect somebody else to do it for us. That's the selfishness, and that is very much tied in with shame. I'm not worth it, so somebody else has to do it for me. So healing shame means that you become willing to feel your feelings, your painful, wounded feelings that you're creating, and you use the inner bonding process, the 6 steps of inner bonding, which you can learn on the website, to explore your belief system and what you're doing to cause your wounded feelings, and you're willing to feel your core feelings of, as I said, heartache and heartbreak and loneliness and grief and sorrow and helplessness over others, and you're willing to embrace those feelings with deep compassion and kindness towards yourself, and which is how we manage those feelings, is with compassion and with caring towards ourselves. And so this is all part of what you learn to do when you practice the inner bonding process. So the first thing in healing shame is that you need to be willing to feel your feelings and take responsibility for your wounded feelings, for your core feelings. And the second thing is that you need to be willing to let go of control over other people and over outcomes. Let go of thinking that you can change another person, that if you change, another will change, that if you do it right, act right, say the right thing, look right, perform right, then you can have control over another. You have to be willing to let go. That is a false belief, that we have control over other people. And so these are the two ingredients for healing shame. One is the willingness to feel your feelings, both your wounded feelings and your core feelings, and take responsibility for them. And the other is the willingness to let go of that which you do not have control over anyway, which is other people, how they feel, and the outcome of things. Now, it's really amazing what happens when you are willing to take responsibility for your feelings and you are willing to let go of control of other people. Shame magically disappears when you're willing to do this. It's really amazing what happens. Some of you have written in questions about how to heal shame and why you can't move beyond shame. And really, this is what it's about. Shame truly, miraculously disappears. I've seen it over and over again with the thousands of people that I've worked with. When you're willing to take responsibility for what you're telling yourself and how you're treating yourself that causes your wounded feelings, and you're willing to compassionately, gently, and tenderly embrace your core feelings, and you're willing to let go of control over other people, which you don't have anyway, then your shame heals. When you let go of trying to get love and approval outside of yourself and instead learn to love yourself, shame heals every single time. I was just talking with one of my clients today who said to me, you know, it just seems to sort of happen. I just don't feel the judgment towards myself. I don't feel the shame I used to feel. It just seems to sort of happen. It just happened. Well, it didn't just happen. It happened because this person has been working on taking responsibility for her feelings and feeling her wounded and core feelings and taking care of them and letting go of control of other people. And the result is that she's not feeling the shame that she's felt her whole life. And it's amazing to her that this has actually happened. So I really want to encourage you all, those of you that are not yet members on the website, to join our website for $14.95 a month, because you will get an enormous amount of support in healing shame, in learning the inner bonding process, in creating community. This is a community of really, really caring people who are there for each other in profound ways. And one of the best deals, I think, is that when you're a member, you get to ask questions, and Erica and I answer these questions within hours usually. It's like you can talk to professionals anytime by asking your questions, and we answer them and get a tremendous amount of help that way. You can be on our chats and receive help. We have some free inner bonding facilitation for those people who have no money. There's just so many ways that you get helped and supported on the website. And there's a place on the site that takes you through the inner bonding process, shows you videos, how to do the process. And so I really want to encourage those of you that are not yet members to join our spiritual community, our healing community, and get the support that you need. So I am going to start with a couple of questions that people have asked, and then I'm going to open up the phone lines for those of you that would like to ask a question. So Judy asks, how do I get rid of shame that seems to be connected to the core of my soul? Well, I think this is really what we've been talking about. That is the core shame, and it's been there for a very long time. But the way to heal it, I don't look at things in terms of getting rid of, but I do look at it in terms of healing. And the way, again, to heal it is to practice the inner bonding process, learning to embrace your feelings and take responsibility for them and let go of control. So Lynn asks, how can I release the shame of being a know-it-all? When I want to offer information to be helpful, I go through this wounded process of judging. I tell my inner child she's feeling vulnerable because that know-it-all stuff is an old message. but I often feel the waves of shame wash over me for being smart. And I do often don't offer because this shame shuts me up. This seems different than the importance of being humble. Maybe I'm just trying to control people, thinking I am being the biggest narcissist alive. Now, obviously, Lynn, there's a false belief here about being smart, that it's not okay to be smart. And this must be something that you got as you were growing up. Many women get it. Many girls get it. They're not supposed to be smart. They're not supposed to tune into their inner knowing. It's not so much a matter of being a know-it-all, but of valuing that you know what you know and trusting that you know what you know and releasing the false belief that it's not okay to be smart. This must be something that you either absorbed in your family or absorbed as you were in school. One of my clients recently told me that she had decided when she was young that she was never allowed to love school because some boy told her that she loved school too much. And you know, sometimes people are threatened when you're smart or threatened by you doing well in school. And so I want to encourage you to let go of this false belief about being smart and start to offer what you know from that place of kindness within you. It's very fulfilling to offer what you know from a place of kindness, which you can't do when you're shaming yourself for knowing what you know. So I really want to encourage you, Lynn, to let go of that belief about being smart. Now, I would like to know if there's anybody online that would like to ask a question. And if you would like to, you press *7 and it will unmute you. And then you can ask a question. So is there anybody on the line? We've got quite a few callers on the line. Is there anybody on the line who would like to do a little bit of work with me on the line? Just press *7.
Margaret, this is Davina in California.
Hi. Tell me your name again.
Davina, like divine, but not quite.
Okay, Davina, hi. So what's your question, Davina?
Well, first of all, I didn't quite get the difference between core feelings and wounded feelings, but my question was how to deal with shame in regards to a disability.
Okay, so let me answer both questions.
Okay.
Wounded feelings are the feelings that we cause. We cause them with our false beliefs. We cause them by abandoning ourselves, judging ourselves, not attending to our feelings, turning to addictions, making other people responsible. This causes a lot of anxiety when we abandon ourselves, a lot of depression, and when we judge ourselves, it causes a lot of shame. So we're causing our wounded feelings. The core feelings are the feelings that come from life. Like somebody who you love withdrawing and not connecting to you, that's going to feel lonely. It's going to hurt your heart, cause heartache. Somebody you love dying, somebody you love leaving you, just, you know, the difficult things of life. And so the loneliness, the heartache, the heartbreak, the sorrow, the grief, the helplessness over others, these are the feelings of life, and they need to be welcomed and embraced with deep, deep compassion. Now ask me your second question again. Go ahead. It's about disability. How do you handle the shame of a disability? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, my parents still to this day are ashamed that I have a disability, and they always like to, you know, hide me out, even to this day. Don't use your white cane in public, you know. You're going to bump into
something. What is your disability, honey?
I am visually impaired.
Okay. So the problem is that your parents saw this as shameful, and so you, did you absorb that? Do you see it as shameful, or is it just about their shame?
It's both.
It's both. Okay.
I'm ashamed because they are, and I feel like, you know, they thought it was like a punishment from God for something they did, and like
I broke
this silent vow that said I was going to come out perfect, and when I did that, it's like, okay, well, you did this, so now we're gonna punish you. We're gonna make your life
right. But you see, these are the false beliefs that I'm talking about. These are programmed false beliefs from the wounded self. Your parents learned this belief. This is not something they were born with. This is not something, obviously, that everybody believes. This is something your parents believe. It's a false belief that causes the feeling of shame. And so the way that you release the shame is that one of the things that we teach people in the inner bonding process is we teach them to connect with a personal source of spiritual guidance. Are you connected with any source of guidance?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Well, I'd like you to go right now and open to learning with that source of guidance and ask, what is the truth about this disability? What is the truth about my being visually impaired? How can I see it in a way that is positive rather than negative? So ask that question and just see what information comes through you right now.
That I am here to help people open their hearts to compassion, and that I can truly see from the heart, and that's what matters. That's what's important in life.
Oh, that's wonderful, honey. Now breathe that into your heart. Breathe that into your heart, and know that your soul chose to come in with that disability for that very reason. I can feel shivers all over me as you said that. So, you know, you're very much in contact with your guidance, honey, and you need to be believing what your guidance just said to you, that on some level, this is a gift for your soul, and this is a gift for other souls. And this happens over and over again, not only with people who come in with disabilities, but people who come into very, very abusive families. I've worked with, you know, hundreds of people who have had just horrible, horrible abuse. And, you know, when they finally start to heal and they ask, why did this happen to me, they almost always get that their own soul chose to go through this, to learn compassion, to move into personal power, to be of help to other people, that this is a soul's journey. It doesn't excuse what anybody did, because, you know, we're not about excusing abuse. But still, it's certainly helpful to see your own disability in a very positive way. How does that feel to you right now?
It feels a little airy-fairy, and like it's kind of going to be hard to believe in the practical every day, but it's definitely a nice
thing. What if you would? What if you would actually see it that way? I mean, you can see it any way you want. You can see it like your parents see it, like some sort of punishment, in which case you're going to feel ashamed of it. Or you can see it as, you know, as learning compassion and sharing that with others. You get to decide. Which way do you want to
see it? That feels better. The second one definitely feels better.
Okay. Now, one of the things about inner bonding is that your feelings are your inner guidance system. See, you're connected to your higher guidance, and your higher guidance just communicated something to you. But also our guidance communicates within through our feelings. And so when you say it feels better, I want to encourage you to trust that, because that's your inner guidance saying that's the truth. What feels better is the truth. You know, we've got this fail-safe system that when we're feeling bad, our inner guidance is letting us know that we're off track. When we feel shame, we're off track in our thinking. We're off track in our belief system. And when it feels better, your inner guidance is letting you know that now you're getting on track. You're moving into truth. So I want to encourage you to trust that good feeling inside. Okay?
Okay.
How are you feeling right now, honey?
Very heard and validated. And when I get the money saved up, I want to do your 6-week phone intensive, because that sounds amazing.
Oh, great. Wonderful. Love to have you there.
Great.
Is there anybody else on the line right now that would like to ask a question? You have to press *7 to unmute. Okay. Well, I'm going to go to one of the written questions then. Okay, Karen writes, an intuitive once told me, as have others, you don't love yourself. You have to love yourself. I don't think I know the difference between loving myself and protecting myself. Likewise, when shame seems to be rooted deeply in any failure, small or large, or embarrassment provokes an inner shudder and feelings of both wanting to disappear in humiliation, yet attempts to save face or explain. In healing shame, how do you know you are healed? Do these automatic reflexes really disappear? Okay, so first let me address not knowing the difference between loving yourself and protecting yourself. The way to know the difference is to by how you feel. And again, your feelings are inner guidance. When you're protecting yourself, you're going to feel alone inside. You're going to feel anxious or depressed. You might be angry. You might be hurt. There might be an empty feeling, a numb feeling. It just doesn't feel good. When we protect ourselves from our wounded self, which means that we're protecting with shutting down, we're protecting by giving ourselves up, we're protecting by getting angry, withdrawing, going to addictions, making others responsible. These are all ways of protecting. It doesn't feel good inside. But when you're truly loving yourself, which means that you're being very kind and very gentle with yourself, you're not judging yourself, you're attending to what you want and how you feel, you're taking care of yourself on many levels, physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially, organizationally, relationally, you're really taking responsibility, you're going to feel great inside. And that's how you know that you're loving yourself. Now, Karen is asking, when shame seems to be deeply rooted and then there's a failure and then you feel so embarrassed and you want to cover that up. First of all, there's a false belief there that failure is bad. Many of us grow up with the belief that if we fail in something, we are a failure. That's very linked to the core shame. I am a failure. Whereas if you look at the biographies of any successful people, you will find that there's failure after failure after failure until there's success. And that there is no way to learn, no way to learn, no way to grow without failure. And so one of the things that I want to encourage all of you to do for yourselves as part of loving yourself is to say, okay, it's okay to fail. It's got to be okay to fail because we're all going to fail. That we feel embarrassed and shamed and humiliated when we have decided our own decision that failure is not okay. There's a wonderful book that I'd like to recommend to all of you called Mindset, and she's done a lot of research on those people who see failure as a fact of life and it just means there's more to learn, and those people who see failure as I am a failure. It's like night and day difference regarding how those people do in life and how they end up feeling. So I want to encourage you to read Mindset and to let go of believing that there's anything wrong with failure. And Karen says, in healing shame, how do you know you're healed? Do these automatic reflexes really disappear? And yes, they do. They really do disappear. When you're living in truth, when you're truly embracing your feelings, taking responsibility for yourself, learning who you truly are. One of the things about inner bonding is that we learn there's a huge difference between the wounded self, which we created to try and protect ourselves, and the core self, which God created. And the core self is who we are. We are not the wounded self. We are not who we created. We are who God created, and as you practice inner bonding, you learn to see the difference between the wounded self, which is just a fabrication, it's just what we created to try and be safe in our lives, and who we really are, the beautiful, incredible, magnificent essence that we are inside. And as you practice inner bonding and you embrace who you are, you heal the shame, the shame just goes away. And along with it, those automatic reflexes really do disappear. Now, this is not instant. This takes time. It's a practice. Practicing the six steps of inner bonding is a practice. And the more you practice it, the better you get at it. But I assure you that this process always works. And when you practice it consistently, you will heal your shame. You will move beyond the automatic reactivity that comes from the shame. So I'm going to ask again, is there anybody else on the line who would like to ask a question? You can press star 7 if you'd like to ask a question. And if not, I certainly do have many more here. So is there anybody who would like to ask?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, go ahead.
What's
your name?
My name's Eileen.
Hi, Eileen.
Hi. Hi. I wanted to ask you what I have a terrible addiction, and it's not as bad as some addictions, but it's I'm just addicted to the computer. I'm addicted to house hunting on a computer, and that specific addiction, and it just keeps me from all feelings and just numbs me out, and I can't seem to stop. I feel better when I'm out of the house, when I'm not in on the computer, and that's all I do, and I don't feel good about it, and I just want to know how to deal with my feelings so I don't have to numb out on this house searching on the computer addiction.
So, I'm wondering if you'd be willing to go inside, just take a few deep breaths, and go inside your body right now, and see if you can tune in to what the feelings are that you're avoiding when you're on the computer. What are you afraid to feel?
I think I'm afraid to feel loneliness.
Yes, that is very likely. That's very, very often what the fear, what the feeling is that people are afraid of. And see if you can tune into what you're afraid of in feeling the feeling. What do you tell yourself is going to happen if you really embrace and feel the loneliness?
Well, I think it. I guess the feeling is that it will magnify and amplify the loneliness if I really allow myself to feel it.
Okay, so the false belief from your wounded self is if you feel it, it's going to get worse.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, so that is one of the false beliefs that many people have. If I feel my feelings, it's going to get worse, it's going to be amplified, it's going to go on, and there's no point in doing that because it's just going to hurt more. Now, the truth is that just imagine a little child coming in who just scraped. Imagine you being a little child and you've just scraped your knee and your knee hurts. And you come in to your mom and you say, "Mommy, my knee hurts." And your mom says, "Oh, sweetie, oh, that must really hurt." And your mom puts her arm around you and says, "Oh, honey, I'm going to kiss it and make it better." And your mom holds you for a few minutes. And you know what happens with kids when their parents are compassionate and caring? Is that within a few minutes, they're running outside and playing again. Now, if the child comes in hurting, and the parent says, "Oh, don't be such a baby. That can't hurt that much." What happens now is not only is the knee hurting and the pain gets stuck and it doesn't move through, but now the child is hurt even more because the child has now been shamed and ignored for what the child is feeling. Now, the same thing is true on the inner level. When you're feeling lonely and you ignore the loneliness and go to the computer, that's like saying to the child, "Don't be a baby, don't feel pain." Now now that loneliness is locked in your body, and so not only does it have nowhere to go, and it's not going to get released, but now that little girl inside of you is hurting because she's being ignored by you. So now, not only are you feeling lonely, but you're also feeling alone and abandoned inside. And it just gets worse, which is why we get addicted, you see, because you get on the computer, you get to ignore it, but then it becomes, it pulls you, it calls to you, because the feeling inside is actually getting worse and worse, not better and better, from ignoring it.
Yeah, and
now,
it's,
if you were,
and
pardon
I
me?
Find that when, when when I get on a computer, I have a lot of clutter around, and then there's it's a vicious cycle because there's a lot of shame around the clutter. And I don't get to do the clutter because I get on the computer and I numb out, and then I think I must hate myself for and feel so ashamed that I have all this clutter around.
Yeah, and so that's another way of avoiding responsibility for your feelings. So what I want to suggest you do, honey, is that the next time you feel like getting on the computer, I'd like you to just sit down for a moment and breathe into your body. Pick up a doll or a bear that represents your little girl inside, and embrace the loneliness with compassion. Say, oh, you're feeling so lonely right now. And see if you can feel tender towards yourself for the loneliness. See if you can open and invite in love from spirit for that lonely child inside. And just be with the feeling. Just breathe into it and be with it. And breathe into it and be with it until it starts to move through. And at that point, you want to consciously release it to spirit, and then you want to say, okay, what would be the loving action? What do I need to do for my little girl right now that will make her feel loved by me? And maybe it would be to call a friend and connect with somebody. Maybe it would be to, you know, go out and do something. Maybe it would be to just take a bath, or maybe it would even be to clean up the clutter. But when you ask what is loving to yourself, it's not that you won't feel lonely, but you won't feel alone inside because you won't be abandoning yourself. And this is really what the inner bonding process is about. So what I want to suggest to you is that you learn and practice the inner bonding process, because that is the way to heal addictions. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, yes, a lot. And I wanted to know is, in Southern California, in the Carlsbad area, is there inner bonding practitioners?
We have inner bonding practitioners in many different places, but most of them do work on the phone.
Oh.
And you can go on the website under facilitators. I do all my work on the phone. Most of them do their work on the phone, so it really doesn't matter where you live.
Oh.
But if you look under facilitators on the website, you can see, you know, where the inner bonding facilitators are.
Yeah, okay.
Okay?
Well, thank you so much, Margaret.
You're welcome, honey.
Really appreciate it very much.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Yeah.
I'm going to now take another question that's been submitted into the website. This is Patty, and she's saying, how can I distinguish my own shame from that which was passed to me from my mother or father? And how can I forgive myself for past actions that brought me a lot of shame? So, Patty, that's a good question about distinguishing your own shame, because we do absorb feelings from our parents. We can absorb their anxiety even in the womb, and absorb their shame even in the womb. And the way, again, the way that you can distinguish is by doing an inner bonding process, going inside, seeing what you're feeling and what you're telling yourself, and connecting with your source of guidance, because your guidance is going to help you understand what is the truth. If there's nothing you're telling yourself, if you're not judging yourself, then you know that you've absorbed shame from another person. Now, very often, children who have been sexually abused always absorb the shame of the perpetrator, because the perpetrator is doing something that they know is really wrong, and they always have a lot of shame. The child is very vulnerable, and that energy, it's like a black energy, and it comes into the child, and the child now thinks that they're the ones who are shameful. And they carry the shame. And one of the things I do when I work with people who have been sexually abused is I help them, and any of you out there who have experienced sexual abuse can do this. It's not that hard. Is that you visualize that dark place in you that has absorbed somebody else's shame, and you imagine it like dark smoke, and you imagine it leaving your body and going back to the person. And you just breathe into it and sit with it while you visualize this darkness going out of your body and back into whoever it is, whether it was your mother, your father, or somebody else, just really releasing it and giving it back to that person. And you will feel so much lightness in your being. Now, Patty's second question is forgiving herself for past actions that brought her shame. See, once again, it's not the actions that brought you shame. It's your judgment of the actions. We all have done things that we're not proud of. We all have regrets about things we've done, but this is life. This is part of learning. This is what we've had to do to learn the lessons that we came here to learn. And so it's when you say to yourself, you know, I'm a human being and I've made mistakes and I'm going to go on making mistakes, but that doesn't make me a bad person. Just because I made mistakes, just because I messed up, just because I might have hurt somebody, just because I failed, doesn't make me a bad human being. It's when we tell ourselves that we're bad for our past mistakes that we end up feeling the shame. So I want to urge you to take the judgment off of past actions. They're just part of the journey, and we're all human. And let's, you know, get ourselves off the hook here and not be so hard on ourselves and just learn what we need to learn without the judgment. You're going to learn so much more when you don't judge yourself than if you do. And so I really want to encourage you to take off the judgment. It doesn't serve any purpose at all. It just hinders. Is there anybody else on the line here who would like to press star 7 and ask
Hello?
A question? Yes. What's
Hello?
Your name? Yes, hi.
Hi.
Yes, go ahead, honey.
My name is Amy.
Hello, Amy.
Hi.
What would you like to ask, honey?
Well, I've been working on the inner bonding for a few months now, and one part that always stumps me is the connecting with the inner guidance.
Yes.
And, I have a hard time imagining somebody, a figure, or an image of somebody who's there with me.
Okay, so let me help you with this for a moment here. Mm-hmm. What I'd like you to do right now is I'd like you to imagine an older, wiser part of you. Can you imagine you like 30 years from now?
Okay.
Okay, so just imagine that. Now, I'd like you to imagine that your soul is very, very big. Our souls are very big. Our souls are way, way bigger than can fit into the body. And I'd like you to imagine that the part of you that is in your body, the part of your soul that's in your body, is your feeling self. That's your inner guidance. That's what we call the inner child, and that's part of your soul inside. I'd like you to imagine that there's just a huge part of your soul outside, all around you. And that's your higher self. That's your older, wiser self. So you can imagine that as you as a being, or you can imagine that as you as a light or an energy. But that energy can actually be photographed. People photograph it in Kirlian photography. That energy is there. That energy is part of your soul. So can you imagine that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's what you can start to turn to. That's what you can start to turn to for the love and the wisdom, the comfort, the compassion, the guidance, and however you want to conceptualize that, whether you want to see it as you as a being, or you want to see it as you as a light, or you as an energy, however you want to see that. That is there.
In your
that
book,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Anna.
Well, you had I've read your book. Do I have to give myself?
Me
up?
To be loved by God.
Be loved by God. Yes, yeah. And you have a lot of conversations in there where you have your clients talk to somebody with a name.
Right.
Is that important to have?
You know, it really doesn't matter What matters the most, I mean, yes, some people can conceptualize a being, and they can name that being, and that's very helpful to them. Some people can't. It really doesn't matter. What matters is your intention to learn. When you have a deep intention to learn about what is loving to you, what is kind to you, what is in your highest good, you are going to access the information you need. There's just, for some people it works to see a figure and to have a name. Some people it works to connect with a religious figure such as Jesus. Some people just have a concept of God that works for them. Some people it's just your own higher self. It's just whatever works for you. But what's very important is to be in a true intention to learn. That's what allows you to access the truth. And that's what's so basic to inner bonding, is being in the intention to learn rather than in the intention to protect. So is that helpful to you, honey?
Yes, very. Thank you very much.
Good. You're welcome. Is there anybody else on the line that would like to ask a question?
This is Dina. Can you hear me?
Hi, Marcy.
Yes, what's your name again?
Oh, so is someone else talking? I said this is Dina.
No. Go ahead, honey.
Okay. I thought that I had got rid of the shame until I talked to someone, and it's just like you provoked me back into that shameful state.
Yeah.
And I was like, the situation is that I don't have any kids, and I had lost a child early on.
Uh-huh.
And I made peace with that, and now because of my age, I decided, and I'm no longer married as well. I decided
uh-huh.
that I wasn't going to try to have kids.
Yeah.
One of the main things that I wanted was a family, not just to have a baby.
Uh-huh.
So I'm talking to someone, a friend of mine that I've known from high school, and we got back in touch over the holiday, Thanksgiving holiday, and she asked me about, she said, can I ask you a personal question? And I said, sure. She said, I just wanted to know, why you never had kids. And I said, well, and I told her, I had lost a child and so on and so forth. And so she said, oh, well, are you going to try to have one now? And I said no, I decided not to try to have one again. And she said something, and I said, well, my age, I feel like right now, I'm at an age where I don't feel that I should try to have a child again, and then I'm not married.
Uh-huh.
And she just, I can't even remember the exact words she used, but she said something kind of derogatory, not something bad, but I don't know what, I can't even remember what she said, but it just felt really hurtful. And
honey,
it was something to the effect where maybe you weren't blessed or something like that.
I understand what you're talking about. And this is a perfect example of you going to shame rather than feeling the true feeling of hurt in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
What I'd like you to do right now is just breathe into your heart and be with that hurt. Be with the heartache of what she said to you.
Mm-hmm.
Be with the loneliness of what she said to you. Whatever it was, it had an energy that was hurtful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I'd like you to just put your hand on your heart right now. And just breathe into your heart and see if you can be very kind and gentle. See if you can open to compassion for the hurt feeling in your heart. See if you can acknowledge, whoa, that caused me some heartache, some heartbreak. That just did not feel good at all. And that caused me some sadness, some sorrow, that somebody would be unkind to me in this way. And just be with that very gently, honey, very gently, very tenderly. Be with the heartache. Are you able to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Now keep breathing it in for another moment here. And now be willing to release that feeling and ask Spirit to take the feeling and say, I'm ready to release this heartache. And just imagine the feeling getting released out of your body and going to God. And how are you feeling right now?
A sense of relief.
Right. And what happened to the shame?
It's not really, it doesn't feel like shame. It just felt like.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
So that's my point, you see, is that we tend to go to shame when we're
right.
avoiding the authentic feeling. Because
which
none of us
heartache.
Are used to, yes. None of us are used
yeah.
to just being with the heartache.
Mm-hmm.
We've learned to protect against it for so long that we're not used to it. And yet it only took you less than a minute
mm-hmm.
to feel it, to be with it, to be kind towards yourself with it, and to release it. And then you feel relief.
I guess you want to go straight. You don't want to go to heartache. You don't want to
That's
go
right.
through that feeling of hurtfulness because you feel like, why would somebody, I would never hurt you. Why would you want to hurt me? And then
yes,
then
but that is the point. That's why it causes the heartache, because somebody is being hurtful. Somebody is being mean, and it does hurt the heart, and we have to be with that. We have to take care of that feeling. We have to acknowledge it.
Mm-hmm.
We have to let ourselves know, yes, this person actually was being hurtful to me.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of why, that is what she was doing. She was being hurtful to you. And
mm-hmm.
you can take responsibility for acknowledging that, for being with that very gently with yourself, very kindly, and releasing it, rather than go to shame. But shame is the addiction. Shame is the habit. Do you
yeah.
see that?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really glad you asked the question, because I'm hoping that everybody who's on the line and everybody who's in the webinar can see how fast this can work. It's really amazing what happens when we embrace our core feelings, which we think are going to be unbearable, but as adults, they're not unbearable at all.
I guess it's that identifying exactly what that emotion is versus what you think it is. Does that make sense at the time?
Well, that's right. That's right. But anytime
yeah.
you go to shame, from now on,
mm-hmm.
you can see if you can remember that it's a cover-up. It's a cover-up
mm-hmm.
feeling for the heartache or the heartbreak or the loneliness
right.
or the grief.
Okay. It's
okay?
a cover-up. Okay.
And then you can start to name. Naming the feeling is very important. And you say, oh, this is heartache. It's very helpful to yourself to name the feeling.
Okay.
Okay? You're very welcome. We only have a couple of more minutes here. I don't think we're going to have time for another call, but I really would like to tell all of you how much I appreciate you joining the call. I really, really enjoy doing these webinars and knowing that all of you are being helped by this. I want to encourage, again, those of you that are not members of the site or who have not learned inner bonding. You know, we have a free course. We have a free inner bonding course that you can take where you can learn the inner bonding process. And as I said earlier, the website is only $14.95 a month. It's really the best deal in town to get so much support for your healing process. So I want to thank all of you again, and I hope you have a wonderful evening. Good night, everybody.